الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, last week we discussed an important point, an aspect for our Islah, and we said our maqsood, our objective, our aim should be Rizai Ilahi, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That must be our goal, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, today we will discuss again what our mashayikh in tasawwuf, tazkiyah, they have explained, emphasized. Many of this we have heard before also, but the whole purpose is to change our direction in life, to get to that manzil-e maqsood, to obtain raza-e ilahi, to pass the test. As I mentioned last week or the other week, thousands and thousands of people have traversed this path. They've passed this road and they've reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are successful. So inshallah, if we also follow the same path, we too will become successful. There are two types of people. One person, physically he's well, he's healthy, he's strong, he's fit, he exercises well, he's got a strong body, and he's very careful of what he eats. He's got no sicknesses whatsoever. He's got no sugar problem, no cholesterol problem, he's got no stomach problem, he's got no aches and pains, no knee, no joint pains, he's got no head problem. Alhamdulillah, he's fit, he's healthy. So such a person does not need a doctor. He doesn't need any medication. His diet is perfect. And he ensures that he does not eat anything that will be harmful to his body. He's always very cautious. So he's eating all healthy food, nutritious food, and he exercises well. He's got a healthy life. Because no ailments, no sicknesses whatsoever. Such a person, if he goes to a doctor even, and he insists and tells the doctor, "Doc, prescribe to me some medication." The doctor will say, "What medication can I prescribe? Alhamdulillah, everything is clear, you've got no problem. Even if he does the blood test, does some x-ray, whatever, scans, your body is sound, you're healthy." He said, "No, just give me some medicine." He says, "There's no further and give you any medication. What you are doing is perfectly well. You're eating good food, you are healthy, you're staying away from those food that may harm you." So the important point for this person now is to continue this type of life, a healthy, nutritious way of life. The other person, he is very sick, he's got major problems and sicknesses, he's got blood pressure, high blood pressure, he's got cholesterol, he's got sugar, he's got heart problem, he's got joint problem. Allah give all of us afiyat and good health. This is by way of example. So such a person will need a doctor. And the doctor will prescribe medication for him. So he has to go to a doctor. And the doctor will examine him. And the doctor will tell him, "These are your problems. And this is the medication that is prescribed for you. And this is how you should take it. And from now on, this will be your diet also. And you've got very heavy sugar. Your sugar levels are very high. You must make sure you don't eat anything sweet. And your sugar must not go more than 4 or 5. Otherwise, you'll become extremely sick. Or you've got high blood pressure. Make sure you take this tablet every single day. Don't miss it any day. Because this can lead to a heart attack." So various things the doctor will guide him. So he needs a doctor. He needs somebody who will examine him, somebody who will monitor his results, somebody who will prescribe for him the right prescription and ilaj. Exactly the same way is our spiritual condition. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, they were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wahi would come down, Allah would command Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba would sit in his suhbat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba was sitting in the suhbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever the command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would direct them and immediately they would bring that into their lives. So because of the suhbat of Rasulullah s.a.w. and they abided or they listened to Rasulullah s.a.w. instructions, they brought it into their lives, their hearts became pure, they had the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they led a very healthy, sound spiritual life, and of course even physically they were fit and strong. The food that they ate is not like what we eat. So physically they were fit, and also so zahir they were fit, and batin they were fit. So when Rasulullah left this world, in the time of Sahaba only then, when Rasulullah left this world after he passed on, at that time Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had reached that level, that level where they had the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their lives were very, very healthy in all aspects, especially spiritual. Spiritually, they were extremely, they had sound health. So what they required to do was to maintain that way of life, to eat the right foods, and spiritually, to have the right type of qualities to maintain the good qualities they had, the sabr, the shukr, the qana'at, the generosity, the sakhawat, the jood, the karam, all those good qualities. And they refrained from all evil qualities. They didn't have anger. If they had anger, if they had any quality that would bring some sickness, immediately they were very cautious, they would refrain from it. So if a sahabi sees another sahabi having some type of weakness, he would go up to him and say, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. He said, I heard Rasul saying this about this, this is what he prohibited us from, this is what he directed us, this is what he said. So immediately that sahabi, now who hears this hadith from this sahabi, that Rasulullah said this, immediately he'll bring it into his life. So the lives were pure. They maintained that pure life. But as time went by, moving away from the era, from the period of Nubuwat, which was Khairul Qurun, the best of eras, the best of eras, the best of periods, the best of Zamana, was the time of Rasulullah, then Sahaba, and the Sahaba, then Tabi'een, then Tab'u Tabi'een. And as the time went by, moving away from the light, from the Nur, coming now towards Qiyamah, where there will be the door, the time, the period of Dajjal. So one is Nabawi door, the other one is Dajjali door. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, Sahaba's time, the awliya, Salafi Salihin's time, and now moving towards Qiyamah, far away from the light, far away from the Nur. So imagine now, if you look at our health condition, our physical health, with the type of junk food that we eat, so we know how physically unfit we are. The food that we eat, how harmful they are to our bodies. So we saw, physically, all of us require to go to doctors, specialists, x-ray, blood tests, this problem. Most of us have some type of ailment. If it's not sugar, it's cholesterol, it's high blood pressure, or this ache, or that pain. So physically, when we are so unfit, imagine spiritually. When we moved away from the dawr of Nubuwat, from the zaman of Nubuwat, coming closer and closer to Qiyamah, where the Dajjal will emerge, so much of fitan and fasad, how much more spiritually sick we are, and therefore how much more we need, are in need of a guide. And this is what we are saying in Tazkiyah, Mashayikh say, that we require a spiritual guide, a mentor who will direct us all the time. Not to go ask him about your shopping list, where must I buy this groceries and grab that groceries. That you don't need a sheikh for. That's the problem. Many murid, due respect, they ask the sheikh all unnecessary things. Not things pertaining to the soul and the tazkiyah and the heart. Every other thing they are talking about. So therefore it is imperative that if our condition, our physical condition and our spiritual condition is such that now we need that guide. We need that person who will guide us. Especially in this time of, we are still moving towards the era, the period of Dajjal. Allah protect us from Dajjal. And we are far away from the door of Nubuwwat. There was a very great muhaddith. And when he was young, he was very handsome, very pious. And one day, as he was walking past, a very beautiful girl appeared before him. So he lowered his gaze. The situation was such that she tried to entice him. And she presented herself before him to fulfill his shahwat, his taqaza. Immediately he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he ran away from that place. It is said about 40 years later, as he grew older, much older now, he must have been in his early 20s, 40 years later, now within 60, 70 years old, suddenly one day this thought came to him. That, you know, if I had fulfilled my desire, I had every chance and opportunity, and I could have fulfilled my lust and desire with such a beautiful girl it was, and after that, I would have made tawbah istighfar. This muhaddith, the amount of dini khidmat he made and hadith work, because he refrained from that zina at that time, he did not fulfill his shahwat with that woman, Allah protected him and he did so much of dini khidmat. Now after all this dini khidmat and after so long, this thought came into him. This waswasa of shaitan. Shaitan is very cunning. He said, if I fulfill my desire, I could have made tawbah after that, I would have got my shahwat, the taqaza fulfilled, and I would have made tawbah, and Allah would have forgiven me, and I would have carried on my work. The moment this thought came to me, remember right in the beginning, one of the second or third majlises we had recently, where, رَاقِبِ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ خَطْرَةٍ. That ponder, reflect over the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every thought that comes into you, good, entertain it. Bad, dispel it, discard it. The moment this thought came into him, tawbah, istighfar, he went into sadda, He cried, Ya Allah, this gandhi, this filthy thought came into my mind. Ya Allah, how? He was then inspired, Allah Ta'ala put this into his mind. Because he was sincere, he was genuine. This thought just came into his mind. Shaitan put this thought, but immediately he dispelled this thought. And he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cried profusely. Allah Ta'ala put into his heart, see, this era that you are living in, you are far away from the door of Nubuwwat. You have moved far away from that time. The light was so bright and shining. Now we are going closer and closer to the Dajjali fitna, where there will be darkness and darkness and darkness. So because the environment is so dark, even that person who is trying very hard, it's possible that this waswasa may come into him, but Allah protects him because of his taqwa. Listen very carefully, understand it properly. Point here is that the jali fitna, the time, the challenges, the temptation will be so heavy upon him that they will try to make him slip very easily. The person is not steadfast, he will slip. He'll fall into the ploys of shaitan, nafs, and all evil temptations. So the point here was, because you are moving, you are far away, you're not in that era where everything was so bright, the hearts were illuminated, sitting right next to the candle or the lamp. Hanzala radiallahu's incident I mentioned, I think, more than several times in almost every important topic when we discuss this. Hanzala radiallahu, when he was sitting in the company of Rasulullah, heart is brimming with nur, full of nur. All he did, he went home, and his home environment was not that of ours with TV and video and haram and internet and pornographic material and magazines and novels. Nothing. Sahaba's life was absolutely pure. Not even a picture they had. All he did was occupied with his business and maybe his wife and children. Afasna al-diyat wal-azwaj. Our children, we sat with them and spoke to our wife. He felt different from the time when he was sitting right by the lamp of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So immediately he felt he became munafiq. Imagine if this were our conditions. Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, when Rasulullah woke him up in the masjid, and he asked him, how did you wake up this morning? He says, Ya Rasulullah, asbahtu mu'minan haqqa. Ya Allah, I've risen as a pakka believer. Iman is mazboot. Rabbi Akrim said, you're making a claim, لِكُلِّ دَعْوَةٍ حَقِيقَةٍ وَمَا حَقِيقَةُ قَوْلِكَ. What's the reality of your statement? How can you prove what you're saying, that you've got a pakka iman in you? He says, it is as though, Ya Rasul, as though I can see the arsh of Allah in front of me. So imagine that noor of his heart. Imagine that basira, that taqwa, that it is as though he can see Allah's arsh in front of him. If a person can feel as though Allah's arsh in front of him, will everything this person do any haram? Will he go to zina? Will he go to drinking, alcohol, haram things? Never. He says, it is as though I can see the people of Jannah enjoying and rejoicing. And they're so happy. It is as though I can see the people of Jahannam shrieking and screaming and crying for help. Nabi Kareem said, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤُ نَوَّرَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ. You are such a person whose heart Allah has brightened, illuminated. The noor in the heart. The noor in the seena. So this is the thing, that this person was then inspired, that you have moved away from, you have only born now in this era, far away from the door of Nubuwwat, from the time of Nubuwwat. So it's possible because of the darknesses around, these thoughts are easy to come into a person because nafs, shaitan, plus the environment. But any case, he may tawbah istighfar, he repented, he didn't even do anything wrong, and he was pardoned, forgiven. The point here, the more closer we move into the Dajjali fitna, the more important and the more quicker we need to seek assistance and help from a person who will guide us. Otherwise, we will be lost. In the darkness, how are we going to walk? Now when it's load shedding, and we've got no nothing, we've got no emergency lights, we've got no candles, we've got, if your cell phone, the battery is there also, you're all sitting in darkness. How does a person feel that? So exactly that our spiritual condition. Sometimes we have become such. One very close person, I was talking to him last night, and he was saying, Marana, our time, you know, how pious the people were. His mother, his aunt, and what fikr they had, and how namaz came into their lives, and how the entire family had changed. He said, that time you should do some sins also. But now the sins are heavy. So I said, the sins were simple. Now they're sophisticated. That time they made guna, but not heavy gunas like now. And that time they made tawbah immediately. They had haya, they had shame. In those days, the senior people would bear witness to the fact that if a youngster smoked a cigarette and his father was coming, immediately he'll put it behind his back and he'll put the cigarette off and he'll quickly put something in his mouth to camouflage it. The person didn't have the guts and the courage to smoke in front of his father or even his uncle. Today, smoking something completely accepted. The child will pop in drugs and take dacha in front of his own family. Nothing. Nobody can tell him anything. So see how we have become. That time, a person should feel nadamat over his sins. Toba, toba, astaghfirullah. They were simple people. They didn't have so much of deen knowledge also. Simple people, their masjid was simple, madrasa was simple, their clothing was simple. They did something wrong, they would repent. Today we justify our sins. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah, always you see, don't justify your sin. Acknowledge, accept, I made a mistake. But the moment you try to justify, now you are playing with danger. Then we not only justify, we accept that munkar to be ma'roof, to be good. This is the problem we are facing with today. Something which is haram, which is munkar, shariat says this is no good, we accept it to be good for us. This poison, the same person who we spoke about, very healthy and health conscious, eating the right food, everything. There's no need for him to go to a doctor, no need for him to take medication. If he starts taking poison, what's going to happen? He'll die. So the moment we put a good poison into our spiritual lives, it will lead to the death of our hearts, spiritual hearts. Our spiritual hearts will die. And therefore, O Mashayikh say that we have to find some person who we can trust, who we have i'tiqad in, who we have muhabbat for. We know this person is going to guide me. Many people are bay'at to Mashayikh. Many people. But they will complain that I find no change in my life. I'm still the same, or if I'm not gone worse. Why? The reason for this, we must ponder. Every majlis that we sit in and we listen to, our mind should be, whatever is spoken here, the good, do I have it in my life? Whatever evils are spoken about or against and the remedy has been given, have I got this evil in my life? If we spoke about hasad, for example, am I a victim of hasad? Am I a person who has hasad for people? Am I a jealous person? If yes, then what was the prescription? Now let me try and remedy myself and immediately implement that into my life. If we speak about badnazri, casting lustful glances, am I a person who has this bimari in me? Then all the time, if I get an opportunity, badnazri, 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 badnazri. So if this was spoken about, the harms of it, and the blessings of the person who refrains from it, what ta'alluq it have with Allah, what type of sweetness of iman he'll enjoy, so I must try and bring this into my life. So if we must question, ask ourselves, have I brought into my life whatever was spoken about? Or just heard it, pretended as though I'm not sick, I don't have this bimari. I'm like that very strong person, very healthy, very conscious, does all his exercises, is physically fit. He doesn't need any vitamins, he doesn't need any medication. If you are that, well and good. Then you don't need a doctor. You don't need medication. But if that's not the case, then we have to see where I'm going wrong. I got my list, I need to start working. Where have I gone wrong? I have to now make islah of it. Start from one point, then go to the next one. Third one. By the time we start, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes. Then Allah gives us such an enjoyment when we start making islah of ourselves. Person had a dilapidated house, and now he's repairing, renovating that house. Initially, it's a headache. Very difficult. Very daunting. I shouldn't have even started doing this. But after things started improving, and now he's decorating his home, and he's painting it, and everything's so nice, how happy he becomes. Exactly that. We need to decorate our hearts with this taqwa, nur of iman, and get into serious islah. So we should see, if we have taken bay'ah to a person, to a sheikh, then exactly like how a person, we have many youngsters, and they are in university. So a person takes a course, whether he's becoming engineer or pharmacist or whatever it is. So he enrolls for the course, he's accepted. So they have a curriculum, they have a course, 3-year course, 4-year course. There's a timetable. Your lectures start on a Monday, it's 8 o'clock, finishes 12 o'clock, whatever it is. There are tutorials you have to attend. There's assignments you got to present. I have many youngsters, young friends. Manana, tomorrow we got... I got 3 assignments to give in. I haven't done anything as yet. So I ask, always say, what were you doing? 3 assignments, but tomorrow you have to submit it. So if the person who enrolls for his course, and he doesn't prepare for any examination, instead of being in the lectures, he's in the canteen, or he's loitering everywhere else, instead of going to the classes or the lectures and studying hard and listening and preparing well, if he is going to waste his time, can such a person ever get his degree, get his certificate? Never. He can never qualify. Exactly that. When the sheikh prescribes something, when the alim shows, this is what we should be doing, this is what we should be doing. If we are not going to follow that curriculum, the timetable, now, not now, this much, this amount, do this, don't do this, you shouldn't have gone there. Don't do, make tawbah, make istighfar. You must make so much of dhikr. You must make this nafil. You must give this sadaqah. All those things, if he doesn't abide by, doesn't follow the instructions, then he will remain in the same spot for years on end. So exactly like the student who enters a university, like that. Our spiritual condition, if we want to improve and make islah, the dilapidated house, we want to make it beautiful now. Therefore, we have to listen to the instructions and see where we have gone wrong. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi has mentioned very beautifully, And inshallah we'll just discuss this and then we can terminate. He says, A'mali batina ki islah ke liye, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ki tajweez. What Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi for islah of the soul, what he prescribed. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi was a giant. Giant in every type of dini khidmat. His ilm was different, very high. His amal, his taqwa, especially in tazkiyah. Yahya Ulum al-Din is a masterpiece where all mashayikh study. Where he's got the different diseases of the heart. What is this? What is the ilaj? What is the remedy? Oh, mashayikh take from him a lot. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was also another giant in our times. Especially in the field of tazkiyah. They were masters in hadith and fiqh, and he was a great mufti. But besides all that, in tazkiyah, where they were mahir of the fun, a specialist. And not an ordinary specialist, the top specialist. Imam Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, just by a person's walking, he would make out this person is bayat wa shaykh or not bayat wa shaykh. Many hakims in India, you haven't even come to them, haven't even felt your nubs, they haven't felt your pulse, they haven't really examined you. This, just by looking at you, they will tell you this is what's wrong with you. It's nothing to do with kashf and all. Is experience, tajruba, maharat. They are skilled in that fun, in that science. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, the first thing, pehla tariqa, murshid kamil or uska ittiba hai. You find a person, a murshid. Murshid means sheikh. Person who is got, he has that knowledge. And he explains afterwards, what are the basic things you look for when you're trying to look for a sheikh? The very first thing, shaitan will give you this dhoka. Are, where are you going to get person like Zunnun Misti Ramatullah today? Where are you going to get like Imam Ghazali Ramatullah today? Where are you going to get like Shibli? And where are you going to get like all the other great scholars of the past? No, you won't find anybody today. So you won't find anybody today, so you remain sick and you'll die. Person is sick, I can't find any doctors. Can't find any good doctors. I can't find any good specialists. So you'll have to go to some doctor. At least some cure, some ilaj will take place. Shaitan does not want us to progress spiritually. He doesn't want to see our islah taking place. Shaitan wants to see our destruction. So nafs and shaitan, when they gang up together, what are they going to do? Take you away from sirat al-mustaqim. They'll take you towards jahannam. That is their whole effort. So shaitan is too cunning. He's too chalak. He puts waswasa in your... No. Hey, you couldn't. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. This ayat is till qiyamah. Yes, you might not get that type of specialist who is an expert, even in medical field today also. How often a person went to the doctor? Hey, you go, this doctor didn't come right. That, what does the person? Hey, no doctors around? What does he mean? In any field we find, lawyers, same thing, teachers, same thing, businessmen. Don't we find faults in businessmen? If you can't find an honest businessman today, don't we see such things? Can't find a suitable doctor even. So in every field we say there isn't a... So same thing here. We will go to that person to get some ilaj. Hazrat Ramadhan says, remove the cataract from the eyes and then you will see inshallah. So shaitan brings his dhoka that you can't find any person to guide you. And you won't get like the caliph of the past. The other thing is, you will read the waqiyas and the incidents of the kamali taqwa and wara of the mashayikh and salafi saliheen, and then you will compare. No. It's impossible to have that type of taqwa. So you won't find any person to guide me now. This is dhoka of shaitan. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, look for that person at least who has that amount of ilm-e-deen. Sufficient ilm of deen, he's got sufficient ilm of deen that he understands what is the awamir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah ta'ala commands, what Allah ta'ala prohibits. And then this person who has got that ilm, yani baqadr zahrud ilm deen, jisse ahkam par amal kar sake, he's got that amount of ilm upon which he can practice the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's got that knowledge to be able to perform his salat correctly. to discharge his zakah, to go for hajj correctly, and whatever masail, roza, sadaqat, whatever it is, he has sound knowledge, Islamic knowledge. A person doesn't have ilmi deen. He doesn't know how to read his namaz properly. He doesn't know how to give zakat. He doesn't know the masail, how to follow the ahkam of Allah. He cannot be a guide. He'll misguide you. He'll mislead you. So this person must have ilmi deen. And ilmi deen doesn't mean first he must know so many thousands of ahadith by heart and so many fatawa. No, no, no. He's able to follow ahkam of sharia. The second thing, that he must always be found dawam of ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If, for example, it's farz, salat. If this so-called sheikh is not present for namaz, he's reading at his own house, he's discarding his salat, he's making his namaz qaza, then he cannot be a sheikh. He cannot guide you. He is not following his faraid, his wajibat. His salat is not correct. You can see he's reading his salat haphazardly. There's no tilawat in his life. Then there's no zikr. He's not a zakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So kasrat zikr. These are the qualities a person should look for as a guide to guide him. And also, he must have sat in the company of a Shaykh Kamil who made his tarbiyat and who gave him ijazah also. Without ijazah from your ustad, useless. You cannot teach. Your ustad has to give you ijazah. A doctor also, he passes the exam. They have another senior doctor who passes him an exam. Like that, a person who is your guide, a mentor, must have sat or have been in the sohbat of a Shaykh Kamil who gave him ijazat. And of course, sitting in his company, he always takes you towards akhirat. He creates in your heart longing and desire of akhirat. So these are some of the basic important things that even though in our time we don't have those type of mashayikh and all, but we need some guide, some person who will mentor. So he must be at least having these type of qualities. That when you sit in his company, he's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of Allah, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, if he talks about dunya, but immediately he diverts your attention again to akhirat. As you've seen, mashayikh, they will joke with you, but in their joke also, they will link you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike us, we will joke and we will laugh and we'll just finish it. No, they will link you again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will take out some lesson from that joke, where they will direct your attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards akhirat. So by such a person, if you sit with him, then he brings into your heart fikr of your Islam, fikr of akhirat. So these are some of the things you look for. So Imam Ghazali Rahman says, first you look for a murshid, who will guide you. He says, if you don't find at all now this person, you at all, living in such a place, you can't find any guide at all. So he says, the second thing is, the dusra tariqa, apne mukhlis doston ko apni islah ke liye apne upar musallat kar le. The second way of making islah, first one is Shaykh Kamil. Second one, you ask your genuine, sincere friend. It's here, whatever uyub you see in me, whatever faults you can see, weaknesses, show it to me please. Generally a friend, he won't just show you your faults. He keeps quiet. In fact, he'll defend you. You're doing something wrong, and somebody is talking, he says, no, you don't know, he's like this. So therefore you have to have a mukhlis friend, genuine, you must tell him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala called Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. Salman Farsi, great sahabi of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He tells Salman, whatever uyub you see me, defects in my life, shortcomings, weaknesses, deficiencies, I want you to tell me. First Salman Farsi felt difficult. Oh, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I can't tell you. He said, no, he insisted. He insisted. So when he insisted, Salman Farsi told him, I can see two weaknesses in you. Imagine, we talked to Umar ibn Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, if you go back into history, we've got no time. We know the life of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala. He used to have patches on his kurta, on his garment, patches. His life was so simple, if you read his wara, his taqwa, unbelievable. We can't understand. He couldn't tolerate a person moving 1 degree against Quran and Hadith and Shariat. He became angry. Follow the Quran, follow the Sunnah, follow the Haqq. Salman Farsi says, Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I see on your Dastar Khan, you have more than one type of meal, of food. He may have had two. On the those few days when Salman Farsi had to see, saw him. And look at our Dastar Khans. 10-course meal, 12-course meal, and I don't know how many course meal, weddings and all. I mean, I don't go to any wedding functions, alhamdulillah. So I don't know what the hall is decorated like. I don't know what the, but people talk, Mona, they had a menu card and they started all the so many things, and after all that, the person still gets swearing and shouting and things were not right. He said, I can see one extra dish, which is more than your zarurat. Imagine. Second thing, you seem to have one extra garment. I see you in the evening, you got one garment, in the day, another garment. You and I would have got angry. What are you talking? You know what taqwa I've got? What are? Umar radiyallahu anhu said, Salman, inshallah, I will make Islah of this. I will make Islah of this. So you find a mukhlis friend, one who is genuine, who will show you, see, by you spoke extra there. You shouldn't have said that. You belittled him. So immediately, a person will realize, eh, no, yes. I shouldn't have said, I may ask him for maaf. Okay, you don't find a mukhlis friend like this. So he says, then Imam Ghazali Rahman says, go and find out from your enemy. It's difficult. Your islah will take place when your enemy shows you your uyub. Who wants his enemy to talk bad about? Because your enemy never looks at your good. Whatever good you have, and no matter how big it may be, in his eyes that good is very small. He won't even talk about it. He'll look and he'll search for, it may be a minute weakness, but he'll make it very big. And he'll look for those faults. It's not necessary that every defect your enemy tells you about that you have is 100% right. But at least from 10, one will be right. At least from 10, one will definitely be right. So that's the islah you have to make. Qutb al-Aqtab, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Mullah Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahmatullahi, my respected brothers, I wish that all of us understand our akabir, who our ulama were. We talk about akabir, we don't know who are akabir. We maybe know here one, two names. Qutb al-Aqtab, you know what's a qutb? A very high darja of a wali of Allah, very high darja. He is known, he's given, not he gave himself laqab, no. Ulama of his time, call him Qutb al-Aqtab. Mawla Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, great people like Mawla Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi were his students and his khulafa. Hazrat Mawla Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi made his khidmat, was his khadim for years. And after he passed away, Mawla Ilyas rahmatullahi took baitul Mawla Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, was the khalifa of Mawla Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, and then he got khilafat from him. Great people. Hazrat Thani Ramad also was his, Hazrat Gangohi was his ustad. Great people. Mawla Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahmatullahi alayhi. You look at his kitabs in hadith, master. Different funun of ilm. He was a different, when I read some of the explanation in hadith, we get stuck. We're not sure. What is the meaning? This hadith saying that. We read all the kitab, but you see Mawla Gangohi, rahmatullahi, he makes it so easy. And he said, uska hal ye hai. These people were chosen by Allah. They were inspired. Don't worry about people see Indo-Pak. There's also a dhokha of shaitan. They've got no other work to do. So they'll make you feel, no, Indo-Pak ulama, they don't know what sunnat. If you look at, inshallah, one majlis, we'll pick up ittiba of sunnat found in these people's lives. A thing like tying a lungi also, they'll follow sunnat. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi asked Haji Farooq sahab rahmatullahi, Mia Farooq, lungi bandha aata hai aapko. Hazrat, lungi bandha, usme kya hai? So he said, dikhao, show him. Hazrat said, ghalat. Inshallah, some other occasion, Hazrat Mawla Masjid taught him how to wear a lungi. Everything, when they come out of the masjid, come into the masjid, they are so careful. The duas, the entire life, sunnat. Mawla Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali. Every small thing, big thing. We won't even realize there was a sunnat of Rasulullah. They followed it. Any case, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, inshallah one day we'll speak about all these people. We have heard Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali so many times. So Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, towards the end of his life, he became Nabina, he could not see, he was blind. So a person used to write him very nasty letters and ridicule him and call him the worst of things. Now when he became blind, he had a khadim of his to read out the letters of people who write to him, Muridin and others. After some time, some weeks went by, he asked him, "Is khadim Malviji, وہ فلاں شخص کا خط جو آتا تھا کیا ہوا پھر آج کل نہیں آتا ہے؟ There's that one Maulana who should criticize me and call me the worst of names and no more we see his letters coming. What actually happened? The khadim, he never used to read out the letters to Hazrat because he couldn't take it, because he's swearing his sheikh all the time. So he said, "No, I'm not going to make Hazrat upset." So he never used to read, he should keep it one side. And Hazrat couldn't see. حضرت بات یہ ہے کہ بس وہ لکھتا تھا اور میں نے آپ کو نہیں سنایا تھا. مولانا رشید احمد گنگوہی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ انہوں نے فرمایا کہ نہیں ایسا مت نہ کرو, جو رسالہ آئے مجھے ضرور سنا دیا کرے. وٹ ایور ہی سنس ریڈ اٹ آؤٹ ٹو می. وائی ناٹ ٹو نو وٹ از پلاٹنگ اگینسٹ می, وٹ از تھنکنگ آف می. The reason is, ان سب کو میں اس نظر سے سنتا ہوں کہ جو باتیں میرے عیب کی اور میرے خلاف لکھتے ہیں, ممکن ہے ان میں کوئی بات سچی ہو تو میں اپنی اصلاح کر لوں. It's highly possible. One thing this man is telling about me, I'm definitely guilty of it. I'm a victim of it. I need to make اصلاح of this. See the safai of the heart. The pureness of the heart. The enemy is writing. And they are worried about, I've got this defect, I must make islah of it. So this is the third way. And the fourth way, he says, Imam Ghazali Ramatullah says, that you look at the people, community, and you see any qabili i'tiraz, jeez, nazar aye. You see if they are involved in certain things and you know, it is not good. So immediately check in your life, have I also got this weakness in me or not? Because generally, like a person who smokes, so I don't know who smokes, so I'm not good, no person in mind. A person who smokes, he never feels the effect of his smoking. The man next to him in Salat can smell, this person just smoked and came. You can't see your own ayub. You have to stand in front of a mirror to see your faults. You got a pimple, you got a sawyer. Somebody points out to you, you got a big pimple here. Oh, I didn't know. Go in the mirror and you see. So if you see something wrong in community, check yourself. Have I got this weakness or not? This is the fourth way of making islah. First, you look for a sheikh who will guide you, a genuine sheikh, Sheikh-e-Kamil. And if you don't find that, then from your mukhlis friend, tell him to show you your faults. You don't find that, then check your faults from your enemy. And you don't find that also, then look in community what munkar it is there. Then you look into yourself, see if you got that. If you are guilty of it, then make islah of it. May Allah Ta'ala help me, help all of us to make our islah. He said, remember a few weeks ago, I said, drop by drop by drop. Got a big rock, we need to make a hole there. So the one drop will come, second drop, third drop. After hundreds and thousands and millions of drops, finally, there will be a crevice, there will be a hole in that rock. Or they said for the doctors, you put a drip in the hand of the patient in his veins, drip by drip, by drip, by drip, until the medication is finished, and now you are cured again. So like this, inshallah, islah will not take place overnight. Again, azam, we must have that firm determination. Tawajju ila Allah, cry to Allah, beg to Allah, you help me to make my islah. Oh, Mashaykh, Haji Imdad Guram, oh, you should cry. That fikr of the islah. So as I mentioned in the beginning, that we have, our physically also we are unfit, and spiritually also unfit. So inshallah, even though we're moving towards the Dajjali door, we've moved away far from the Nabawi door, but if we make an azam, Allah is too kind, too loving, and Allah Ta'ala will help us to make our islah, and we pass away also with our heart, with a qalbi salim, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, subhanallah,